Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really trying to cut through some noise, getting to the heart of some complex ideas. We're exploring spiritual concepts actually drawn from a pretty unique source. It's excerpts from a global faith-based series, and it's focused specifically on this powerful ancient text, 2 Chronicles 7.14. Our mission really is to unpack what this material says about forgiveness and healing the land. These are big ideas, and we want to see the insights that might resonate, you know, across different cultures and maybe even your own experience. And just to give some context, this deep dive builds on some themes we've seen before in the Source's larger series. Things like discovering divine identity, you know, understanding your spiritual purpose, unlocking breakthrough through surrender and prayer, a call to realignment, sort of getting life back in sync, and how God responds when people cry out. But today, we're zeroing in on where all that leads, restoration.
That's exactly right. And we'll be focusing on two really core phrases from that verse. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. What's really compelling, I think, in how this source material presents them is that they aren't just promises. They're promises of a complete, unconditional, and powerful restoration. It paints a picture that really goes far beyond, you know, simple absolution or maybe a quick fix that we might think of.
Yeah, much deeper. And what's interesting, too, is the global scope. The original series, it explicitly mentions listeners in Brazil, Nigeria, India, the U.S., Peru, Colombia, I mean, all over, which really underscores that these insights we're hoping to uncover today, they're intended to be universal for everyone. So let's dive in. The material starts right away with, I will forgive their sin. What does it really emphasize about this divine forgiveness? How does it set it apart from how we usually experience forgiveness, you know, human to human?
Well, the distinction is pretty stark, actually. The material draws a really clear line between human forgiveness and divine forgiveness. It emphasizes God's forgiveness as, like I said, complete, unconditional, powerful, and profoundly restorative. So it's not just glossing over something or a temporary reprieve, which, let's be honest, is often how human forgiveness can feel. When you look at the scripture reference, like Psalm 103.12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And this series unpacks this to mean not just covering sin up, but its absolute removal, like its erasure, as if it never even happened, just gone.
Wow, erasure. So not just overlooked, but wiped clean. That's a really powerful concept. And it also brings in other verses, right? Like 1 John 1.9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. And Isaiah 1.8, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That really paints a picture of total transformation, doesn't it? A restored relationship. But how does the material handle that feeling we sometimes have? You know, the guilt that lingers even after forgiveness, or the idea that maybe some things feel unforgivable. Is there an actionable step suggested to really grasp that completeness?
Yeah, that's absolutely critical. The source material really focuses on the internalization part. How do you make that forgiveness real for you? It encourages listeners, you, to reflect on specific areas maybe needing that divine intervention. It could be anger or unforgiveness towards someone else, maybe doubt, wrong choices, broken promises, things like that. And it powerfully suggests you're one prayer away from mercy. Meaning the very act of confessing, of asking for that forgiveness, it actually kicks off this profound removal process. It stresses that it's a gift, something to be received, not earned. And once granted, you don't need to keep worrying about it. And to really bring this home, the series shares some pretty compelling stories. Real people, real situations from around the world.
Yeah, those stories are something else. Take Javier from Peru. The material describes him as being involved in illegal stuff for years, just a life full of regret. But then he hears a sermon on this very verse, 2 Chronicles 7.14, and it says he just dropped to his knees, wept, asked for forgiveness, and today he works with at-risk youth, guiding them away from the exact path he was on. I mean, that's not just being let off the hook. That's a complete life turnaround. Restoration in action, helping others.
Exactly. It's tangible. Or think about Isabella from Brazil. She apparently held on to this deep bitterness towards her sister for like 15 years. Can you imagine? It ripped their family apart.
But through a women's Bible study, she encountered this teaching on forgiveness. Eventually, she and her sister met, they cried, they prayed together. And now the material says they actually spend holidays together again. What's amazing there is how forgiveness didn't just fix one relationship. It healed the whole family dynamic. Connection, joy, back again. That's incredible. And Diego from Chile, too. Walked away from faith in his 20s. Stopped praying, didn't believe, felt totally cut off. But one night, he hears a Christian song online, something about God's mercy. And he just sits in his car and says, basically, God, I miss you. Simple as that. And the material says his life completely changed from that moment. He felt forgiven, really felt like he'd come home. It's such a picture of personal return, reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the family from Colombia. Their business completely collapsed. Financial ruin, huge stress. They turned to prayer, confessed mistakes, but also, interestingly, pride they'd been holding on to. And the story goes that God then miraculously opened new doors, brought new clients. They're rebuilding now, apparently stronger than before.
Yeah.
So you connect the dots here. The series presents these not as, you know, just random lucky breaks. They're shown as clear examples. If this forgiveness and restoration could happen for them, well, then that same promise is there for anyone, really, no matter what their past looks like.
Mm. Okay, so we've seen this forgiveness transforming individuals' families, really powerful stuff. But the text doesn't stop with forgive their sin, does it? Which leads us right into that next huge phrase from 2 Chronicles 7.14, what? And will heal their land. I mean, when the material talks about healing the land, it seems like it covers a lot of ground, literally and figuratively. How does it suggest these different kinds of healing, you know, from a person's heart to maybe a whole nation's environment? How are they connected? Is it like an inside out thing or something else?
It's definitely presented as an inside out process. That connection is key. Healing the land is shown as deeply multifaceted. Yes, it absolutely includes that personal restoration, the kind of stories we just discussed. But then it ripples outwards. It can mean family healing, community revival, even national awakening. And historically, the material suggests it can even relate to environmental or agricultural blessing. The core connection being drawn is that individual spiritual health, that alignment and transformation. It's deeply interwoven with the health of the family, the community, even the nation. It suggests a sort of spiritual causality, if you will. As individuals and groups seek this restoration, the land around them in all its senses starts to reflect that healing.
Right, okay. Hmm. And it uses scripture to back this up too. Jeremiah 30.17, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds. That sounds very personal, maybe physical. Then Psalm 147.3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. More emotional, spiritual repair. And Hosea 6.1, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us, but he will heal us. So it seems like whether you're talking about struggling cities, broken homes, troubled schools, or just individual hearts, divine healing is presented as both deeply spiritual and also incredibly practical. Does the material give other, maybe more modern examples of this healing the land on those bigger scales?
Oh, absolutely. And it points to some powerful contemporary examples. For instance, it talks about recent years in Brazil. Regions there have apparently seen these huge coordinated prayer movements. We're talking thousands of people gathering in stadiums, praying not just for themselves, but for their cities, for the nation. And the outcome, as the series describes it, has been pretty remarkable. Reports of families being restored, communities seeing measurable drops in crime rates following these citywide prayer initiatives. This series argues, is a living example of God healing the land. It shows how these individual and collective spiritual shifts can actually lead to tangible, observable improvements in society. It really demonstrates how these seemingly abstract promises can genuinely transform communities, maybe even change a national outlook.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, it's quite powerful to look back on the ground we've covered. We've explored this really radical idea of God's complete forgiveness, you know, total removal, a truly new beginning. And then we delved into this multi-layered meaning of healing, seeing how it can ripple out from someone's personal life to their family, their community, maybe even wider renewal.
Mm-hmm. And what really makes it stick, I think, is how the source material uses those specific vivid examples. Mm-hmm. And the scripture, too, it clearly tries to demonstrate how these big promises aren't just abstract ideas. They can show up as real, tangible transformations in individual lives, like Javier from Peru or Diego from Chile, in families like Isabella's in Brazil, and even on a larger scale, like that family's business in Colombia or the revival movements described in Brazil. It really brings these powerful concepts down to earth, shows them in action.
It really does. And that concluding message from the series seems to be one of profound hope, essentially. God hears, God forgives, and God will heal the land. And it connects that directly to you, the listener, your own potential for a new beginning, for restoration. Doesn't matter about your background, doesn't matter about your current situation. It emphasizes this isn't really an end point, but more like a doorway to a fresh start. Genuine transformation is possible. So maybe a final thought to leave you with today. If forgiveness really is about that complete removal, that profound restoration, and if healing the land stretches all the way from personal renewal to family, community, even national renewal, then what specific land in your own life, or maybe the community right around you, might be quietly waiting, waiting for its own unique promise of restoration? How might truly grasping these concepts shift your perspective on the challenges you face, on the possibilities ahead? Could it prompt a new beginning for you?